What's up, Hokie Nation, and welcome into the first ever edition of the Pete DeMore podcast. My name is Carter Hill, and man, oh man, what a treat this is, a partnership between Tech Sideline, Virginia Tech Softball, and the Virginia Tech Sports Network from Learfield, bringing you the first ever edition of the Pete DeMore podcast, where we're going to chat with Virginia Tech head softball coach Pete DeMore, talk all things Hokie softball leading up to this point during the season, have some fun with coach, and do a little bit of backstory about some of the key contributors from this year's squad. So without further ado, let's get right into it on episode one of the Pete DeMore podcast. What's up, Hokie Nation, and welcome into episode one of the Pete DeMore podcast, a partnership between Tech Sideline and Virginia Tech Softball. Coach, thanks so much for hopping on. We really appreciate it. I know it's long overdue, and I'm excited to get it going.
You got it. And I didn't know my name was involved with it. The Pete DeMore podcast.
Yeah. It's one of those where we were deciding between a couple of things, but it's the Pete DeMore show. We're talking head coach Pete DeMore. So I'm excited to be able to hop on. So 6-0 in ACC play. How does it feel so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, to go 6-0 in our league is a big deal. To start off strong. Against two perennial NCAA tournament teams, we're feeling pretty good about where things are right now. So off to the next one, you know.
What does it kind of say about you guys to get off to this start, even without someone like a Rachel Castine in the lineup?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think we had the potential to be pretty good, you know, so that's one. And we have a lot of talent on our team. And so obviously, Rachel going down was a blow to us, and Ani and Tegan have filled her shoes, so to speak. So that's the thing, is you play with who you got, and so we're pretty deep, we're pretty talented, so we're just rolling with it.
Well, 3-game sweep this weekend at Louisville. What are kind of some of your takeaways from the trip to the Derby City?
Well, first off, I think our pitchers threw well. And I don't think we gave up any home runs, which is a big deal for us. We hit four, and we gave up none. So that led it off for me. We had some kids that were on fire offensively, and some that had okay weekends, and that's going to happen. You know, softball, it's ups and downs. And if one kid struggles, it's okay, because not all nine of us are going to. So that was the big takeaway from us. And you know, the weather was cold. We didn't let it bother us. We just went out and played. So you know, three wins. I said, it's not, I don't care how we get them. Sure. In the league, you just go out and wins are what matters. So we're happy to get three there in Louisville, and off to the next week.
Are you more of a, you like to coach in the warmer weather, I assume?
Oh, I hate cold. I'm probably looking like an Eskimo with my hood up.
No, I was watching on TV. I know it's tough to play and coach in the cold, but something else about last weekend, and somebody I want to highlight on the offensive end, is Corey McMillan. Had the go-ahead three-run bomb in the 10th on Saturday, now hitting .315 after a little bit of a slow start. You've talked about her a little bit beforehand, especially during media day, but can you talk about how you brought her to Virginia Tech and how much of a boost has she been recently?
Yeah, there wasn't not really any standout stories or anything. We played Radford last year, and she had some good at-bats against us, and she was one that stuck out. And I said, if she goes on the portal, we'll be interested in seeing what happens. And I think the next day she went on the portal, and we called her, and she told me she wants to win and get better. So this was a good fit for her.
She homered against y'all last year, correct?
She did.
At TSP. That's a crazy story. I know it's wild. And then to see what she did against Radford down in Athens too was pretty cool. What has clicked for her recently, do you think?
I think she's just, technically, I think she's just more on time than she was early in the season. You know, she had trouble just squaring balls up, and now she's more, her timing, just more pitches that she's seen. Her timing seems to be a little bit better.
In the circle, we've talked about it during pregame interviews, four legit options, but Emma Mazzarone, what has been the key to her success as a true freshman?
Well, really, she's got a mentality of a pitcher. You know, she just next pitch, next pitch, next pitch, and doesn't really get rattled. She has elite stuff as far as she throws 70 miles an hour from the left side, She's effectively wild. She doesn't walk a lot, but hitters are afraid to step in against her. If you don't know where the ball is going, it's hard to hit. and so she can, a couple pitches are over the catcher's head and the next two are 70 down the middle and, you know, have a seat. So, I think it's the combination of, she's got a pitcher's mentality and she's got elite stuff.
How much does it help that she throws from the left side, do you think?
A lot. Cause I don't think, I mean, I can't really think of many pitchers that throw left-handed that throw 70 miles an hour. You know, that's just really, really rare. And so, you do see left-handed pitchers, but not throwing that hard. And, you know, that's just the one we faced the lefty last weekend and we're just not used to it. And we see it in practice every once in a while, but it's not like our BP pitchers are left-handed. We don't get a lot of reps off lefties. So, it's a big deal for somebody to come in left-handed.
What's kind of her story? What brought her to Virginia Tech and why is she fitting in so seamlessly? It seems.
Well, I think, she's a mature kid for a freshman. I mean, obviously freshmen can go through their spurts, as far as, emotionally, you know, but, she's a good kid, you know, and she works hard and she wants to win. Funny story. I recruited her as a hitter and she is a good hitter. And, we saw her at Nationals and when she was committed to us and I knew she could pitch. She was about 62 in high school and Mike saw her at a tournament in the seventh inning. He said that she hadn't thrown a pitch under 68. So yeah, she's still a hitter, but you're going to pitch too. So yeah, just one of those things where she got stronger and you know, next thing you know, she's throwing 71 miles an hour.
Do you ever step in against some of the girls, take a crack at it?
No, I don't want to embarrass them.
When's the last time have you ever done that at Tech during practice?
I've not hit off our pitchers and we had the last time I got in was against a machine at Kennesaw and I had a player feed the machine and I hit a line drive that hit her right back in her shoulder. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. You had to retire that. No, okay. I understand. Yeah. I understand. You've talked about this countless amounts of times too, but you guys have four legit options in the circle this year with Emma, Lindsey Grine, Emma Limley, and Cassie Grizzard. What type of luxury does that give you guys in conference play?
Well, it's a big deal because, you know, unfortunately we've had to play a couple doubleheaders to start the conference off. And that's not ideal as far as setting up pitch rotations and all those sort of things, but to be able to have matchups. And so if a kid struggles on a drop ball, or we have somebody that could throw a drop, or we have somebody that struggles on a rise, we got somebody that could throw that. It just affords us more looks to the opposing teams. And so, you saw that on Sunday who we had planned on, you know, using three pitchers. And so as a opposing coach, you don't know who to prepare for. And that's a big deal.
How much better can that make each other, you know, when they're pushing each other in practice and to maybe who's going to get the most playing time per se, how much can it maybe push each other and make each other better?
Yeah, I think it's a cohesive unit in the bullpen, you know, and that's the one thing that everybody always gets with ask me is, how are you going to keep them happy? And, you know, I think they have the mentality that winning makes you happy. And so they work hard, they take advantage of their opportunities, and hopefully at the end of the game, we win. And that's what's most important. And I think they're understanding that.
I want to stick on the pitching side of things for a minute. A couple weeks ago when Notre Dame came to town, Keely Rochard was in Blacksburg. We actually had her on the broadcast for a half inning. She was great. Oh. That was a whole lot of fun. What does it mean to you to have somebody like that, especially come back and experience Hokie softball even in post-grad?
Well, I think I'm always honored when former players go out of their way to come back. You know, you always think the alumni, I mean, they helped to build what's currently happening at Virginia Tech. And to see kids like that, it's a big deal. And hopefully there might be a special guest tomorrow and I'm looking forward to seeing her. And, you know, it just, I almost get a thrill, more of a thrill seeing former players than I do winning, you know, and I saw a couple of former Missouri players that we had. I hadn't seen one since 2007. She was in our hotel this weekend. I was like, and that's pretty cool, you know? So just to see what they're doing after softball, successful in life, you know, Keely's married right now and it just, it's cool to see.
You guys were picked to finish maybe a little bit lower than you have been in the past in the ACC. Did that fuel you guys at all coming into the year with where you were picked?
I think we might have mentioned it once or twice, but you know, the rankings really don't matter to us, and you know, who we play doesn't matter to us. It's how good can we be compared to ourselves? And so, you know, you start out 18-3 and you're feeling pretty good, but we're not resting. We always have to get better. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it was a fair ranking, compared to how we finished last year, but, this is a new team and you know, onward and upward, so to speak.
I'm just curious with this. You mentioned the record a minute ago and 18-3-1. Is it still weird? Not even asking about that game in Auburn, but is it still weird to see a tie in the column? Like, is it just awkward to kind of look at?
Yeah, it's strange. But to be honest with you, I don't even notice it anymore.
Sure.
You know, I see how many times we win, how many times we lose. And the tie, it's just there, you know. So I'd like to have that win. I'd like to be 19-3, but it's not. So we really don't talk about it.
Sure. The true freshman, and we talked about Emma Mazzarone, but Michelle Chatfield, Emily Leggett, Annika Rose, why have they been so successful early in their college careers?
Well, I think it goes back to mentality that I mentioned with Maz. And I've always said this, that all the kids we bring in here, whether you're a freshman, transfer, whatever it is, they have the physical ability to play. All of them do, or else they wouldn't be here. And so the separator is, how hard do you work? How hard do you take practice serious? Do you do everything that's asked of you? And those kids do, and that pays off on the field. And we've really talked about standards and culture and all that kind of stuff a lot this year. And it's not so much to, you know, all that stuff helps you win games. And so you might not think that going to class is a big deal on the field, but yeah, it is. It's just building habits. And sure. So those kids, they really don't have to worry about, and you put them on the field and they don't seem fazed by anybody that we play.
How did each of those find their way to Virginia Tech? I'm curious to get their stories as well.
Yeah, just the regular recruiting process. You know, we saw Ani and Michelle, they're in-state kids that had the ability to play here. And I know Michelle, for example, she wanted to come to VT. There wasn't many schools on her. I don't know why. They should have been, but I mean, that's our fortune. And yeah, Emily, we just saw a video online with her and how she swung and how she moved. And Mike went and saw her, and you know, I called her and said, "Do you want to come to Tech?"
How about Maya Luca? I wanted to specifically ask about her. You know, she had the pinch hit grand slam about a week and a half ago at this point against Notre Dame, gets an opportunity in the starting lineup this past weekend and goes 3-for-3. How about her?
Yeah, I mean, and I said this last week, you know, there's no more of a model softball player in our program than Maya. And, you know, she came here 4 years ago now, and she's done everything that I've asked of her. I've never had to worry about her in the dugout, off the field, zero issues anywhere. And never complains about playing time, never complains about anything. Just happy to be here. She bleeds maroon and orange, and she's really swung the bat well the last month. I mean, she's been swinging as well as anybody. And so just proves that when you stick with it and you work hard and keep your nose down, you know, things will happen for you.
I was going to ask you about what type of representation she is of your program, but I guess I'll pivot and say, how much do you talk about that per se with the team, saying, hey, lead, you know, follow her by example, and especially to the younger girls in your program as well?
Yeah, a lot. Cause you know, you look at the seniors that we have this year, and I've never really had to worry about them. And so, you know, you give them a baseline of what you should work on your swing. And to this day, Addie Green does them every day, you know, and Addie's gotten better every year she's been here. And so there's a lot of times, and not so much in our program, but a coach will say something and it'll go in one ear and go out the other. And it's, I'm going to do what I want. And so I think we have a pretty good track record of developing players on and off the field. And those kids are just excellent models for that. You know, they just listen to the information, decipher it, go do it, and perform. And all four of them have done that.
Got Charlotte on Wednesday, but I guess I'll look ahead a little bit to Pitt this weekend. What are kind of your early expectations, and how nice is it to be back at home particularly when you're already 6-0 in the league.
Yeah, hopefully it's warm. We're tired of playing in the cold, but you know, that's the thing with us is we're looking forward to playing another conference game, another conference series. But the keys don't change for us. You know, we got to throw strikes, we got to hit strikes, and we got to play catch. And if we do those three things, I say that before every game, you just do those three things and you, the outcome will take care of itself. And so we haven't really watched much film on Pitt yet, but you know, worry about Charlotte, and then Thursday we'll get after them.
I'm ready to have some fun. I'm trying to carry over the tradition that when Evan Hughes did this podcast when he was in college, he tried to get this going. So I'm going to try and carry that over. I'll start with golf because I know like that's your thing. Yep. How much golf do you get to play in season? I'm curious.
Close to zero. Yeah, that's my stock joke was during COVID, I played probably five times a week because my wife still worked at home. She's like, get out of the house. And so I drive down to Blacksburg Country Club, play golf with my buddies, come home. And we moved houses. We moved to a golf course. So I always say I moved to a golf course to quit golf. But the one thing that I try to do, and daylight savings will help this, is take my son out and, you know, make a couple putts here and there and get him involved. So, I don't get to play a lot. I haven't had one round this year, but, you know, I do go out and swing a couple times. My swing feels really, really good right now. So that means I would shoot 110 if I go out today.
What's your go-to course? You mentioned the country club. Do you go to the river course still pretty consistently when you can?
If I want to feel good about my game, I go to Blacksburg. If I want to feel terrible about my game, I play the river course. So river is really hard. And in Blacksburg, you just have to hit it straight. So if I'm hitting straight, I'll score pretty decent.
Okay, best place to eat in Blacksburg. I always like to ask people this question.
Well, there's a lot of good places to eat. My go-to is always Mission Barbecue. You know, it's fast. I like meat. And so that's my go-to. It took the spare ribs off the market, so I don't know what I'm going to get now.
Okay. I got to be careful. This is not a sponsored podcast, but are you a PK's guy? Do you like going to PK's every now and then? PK's, stairs?
I went for the first time of literally 6 years. I went there first time with a recruit in December, and it was really good.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. But, you know, I don't get out as much as I should or used to. Just when I go home, I'm dad mode. And once he gets a little bit older, we'll take him out to the PKs and the other sponsors.
How much fun do you guys typically have on road trips? Obviously, it's a business trip, but you spend 3 days out in Louisville, Kentucky, and obviously dealt with some weather out there as well. How much fun do you guys try to have?
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep things loose. But at the same time, you can't lose sight of why we're there.
Yeah.
You know, you think about fun and going out and doing stuff. There's not a real lot, whole lot of time to do that, you know? So we had the rain the other day, the rain out on Friday, and we watched film in the morning, let the girls do whatever they want. And then we lifted it at 4 and hit at 5. So it's not like we have a ton of time to do things, but cool thing last weekend is we had the women's game on, the basketball game, and had some softball games on. So we're sitting there watching that. And there's a lot of comments on those games.
You were at Louisville just now. Where's kind of some of your favorite places to travel in the league, whether based on location or ballpark or campus? What are kind of some of your favorites to go to?
Well, I think as far as going to play somewhere in a good atmosphere, it's Clemson and Florida State. You know, you go there and the fans will be packed. The stands will be packed, and it's good softball, you know. So we went down to Florida State a couple of years ago, and it felt like a super regional. You know, it just every pitch meant something, and it's just a good environment to play in. As far as just towns, I really don't know. I don't go out much on the road. Obviously, the Durham area is where we're going this weekend. Raleigh, I mean, there's stuff to do there. So yeah, I would say that's the best destination.
Makes sense. Yeah, I was at Florida State for football in October, and I took some time beforehand because I, you know, baseball, softball guy, I walked through the baseball and softball stadiums, and I got into their softball stadium, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. I can imagine what this place is like on a game day. And so that was cool for sure. And it's cool to kind of compare to different places in the league. How about favorite walk-up song on the team?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have any favorites. I had a buddy from high school text me the other day. He goes, "You have Charlie Daniels, the first two hitters, and Hank Jr., the third. It's like, it's your team, isn't it?" I said, yeah, that's pretty much how we roll around here. So anything that that I like is, those top three are probably it.
Our group always jokes about we always enjoy Cameron Fagans because family tradition. And yep. So it just makes a whole lot of sense. So I always enjoy talking about that. What would your walk-up song be if you were playing right now?
I have no idea. I sat on Packer and Durham a couple years ago. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll by AC/DC. But I don't know. It's a good question.
Last one for you. What would kind of your message be to Hokie Nation right now as you're, a month into the year and still a ways to go?
Yeah, I think we're playing well right now. And so we need as much fan support as we can get. Place needs to be loud and be like the environments that we played. I just mentioned Clemson, Florida State. Just come out, be loud, support our team. And, because we have good kids, we work hard, good representatives of the university. So, a lot to be proud of.
Well, Pitt comes to town this weekend at Tech Softball Park. Coach, we'll see you there. Thanks for hopping on, and I can't wait to hopefully do this again soon.
You got it. Thank you.